Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. This program is about the evolution of our consciousness, our soul, our essential being, and what we all have to contend with in this evolution is our ego, and that's what we'll be talking about today with my guest, Clayton John Anger from the UK. He'll be at the Open Center in early November. What's the date, Clayton, for that?
It is Sunday, the 5th of November.
And he's written an incredible book called The Ego's Code, and we all need to know about that. Let's just talk about what the ego is, because a lot of people use that word, and originally it meant the I. I mean, in Greek it means the I, but it's not so much in today's kind of spiritual understanding the I, as it is the personality that's separate from the soul. Or how would you define it?
Okay, so this is interesting. So before we go into that, if I give you a little bit of backstory in terms of myself and how I got to this point, because then it will just give context to what we were talking about. But it's really, really great to be here, Alan. I'm really excited to be on your show. So where my journey began, for listeners, I used to be an accountant and a tax consultant. I know. I used to specialize in mergers and acquisitions and work for one of the big four. And, you know, it was one of those things that just did not fulfill me in any way. And so I was unfulfilled in my job. I wasn't taking care of my health. And so I was like 252 pounds, almost to 200, up to 280 pounds at one time. And, you know, I had lots of debt, and I look back on my life and I just thought, you know what, what's going on? Why am I actually sabotaging my success? And then I look back even further in my life and I realized that I'd actually been depressed twice and, you know, consumed by negativity. And I thought, there's got to be a reason for this. There's got to be a reason why I'm doing this to myself, because I would grow a business and make it very successful and then sabotage it, you know, for fear of success. I would sabotage relationships because of fear of being loved. And as I said, I would get super, super healthy, and then I would pile on loads of weight and stuff my face with 10 bars of chocolate a day to soothe an unknown pain. And so I became obsessed with negativity. And then one day I woke up one morning and my wife, Lindsay, was in the United States on business, and I had this calling to go to Stonehenge. And when I went to Stonehenge, I literally sat in meditation in Stonehenge. And back then, about 10 years ago, it wasn't like it is today. You know, when you go today, you can only walk around the stones. Back then, you could actually walk through the stones and be near the stones. So I sat with the stones and went into a meditation. And the message that came through was the ego teacher, or the ego is a teacher. And it was really, and then everything just started to unfold in terms of the true meaning behind negativity. And what I realized was that where we experience pain, hardship, challenges in life, negativity is a communication from us to us, from ourselves to ourselves, that something's not quite all right or how we think it actually should be. And so I became obsessed by it. And what I realized was that where there is this negativity and hardship and pain and challenges, is there is a pattern to it. And the pattern I started to decipher, and then realized that there was an even bigger thread to everything that was going on from a soul perspective as well. And so I wrote a book about it called The Ego's Code. And the ego's code is all about understanding the truth behind negativity and learn how to actually decipher your code and stop sabotaging your success. And, you know, so I feel very blessed and grateful to be invited to the Open Center to be able to come and talk about this and actually run an event to help people to, in essence, detox their negativity and go through a rejuvenation. So
I just want to say it's definitely something I need to know, or I think a lot of people need to know. Even the biggest stars need to know that. You know, the biggest, most famous. Look what I call the Harvey Weinstein effect. You know, had everything and boom.
Completely.
Yeah. So anyway, everybody needs to know this. So
they do. And, you know, and everybody in life experiences negativity, everybody, and in various shapes or forms. And with would I look when I look back on my life, I say, well, you know, would I change anything? And there isn't anything I would change at all, because it's brought me to this place where I am now. The only thing I would have done differently, you know, through my own realizations now, is that I didn't have to stay immersed in the negativity. I didn't have to stay wallowing in it and being caught up in some of the challenges that went with it. And I could have got out of that sooner. And I've developed a process to help people to do that, which I will share a little bit later. But I want to answer your question about the ego. So for me, the meaning and the definition of the ego is about expanding your greatness out. And I'll explain why. I'll explain why. So we all experience negativity, and we all experience negativity for a reason. And every single person on our beautiful planet is on a soul's journey. And what happens on this soul's journey is that we have various, you know, things that we need to learn and things that we need to remember so that we can heal. And so, you know, what are we actually trying to heal? So every, you know, the different types of lessons that we need to learn, and each soul in my experience has got 2, 3, maybe 4 lessons, the core lessons that need to learn. So for me, you know, 2 of my very core lessons are around being able to receive unconditional love, and also being able to feel worthy of that, but also feel worthy of other things like, you know, like wealth and abundance and different people, you know, and we all go through this to some shape or form. And so what I realized with this is that, okay, so where do these things come from? And they all come from trauma. And these are traumas that we experience in our current lifetime on a linear place, on a linear line in our past lifetimes, but also in the multiverses that we actually live, breathe, and operate in day to day. And so what happens is that when we, as we go through life and we experience trauma, it creates a tear in the soul. And part of the soul leaves and goes to a place in consciousness where it feels safe. And, you know, within shamanism, you know, I love shamanism. I do a lot of shamanic healing, and a lot of my events have a shamanic theme that runs through them. And I've been, you know, studying shamanism for many, many years. There was something called the World Tree. And the World Tree has a lower world, a middle world, and an upper world. And sometimes the upper world is called the overworld. And the lower world represents our lower 3 energy centers. The middle world represents the here and the now. Sorry, the lower world, just want to come back to that, represents like the lower 3 energy centers. And it's also linked into the past. And I want to talk more about that in a bit. Then you have the middle world, which is the here and the now. And then you have the upper world, which represents the divine. And so when we experience this trauma and part of our soul leaves, it goes to place in the consciousness where it feels safe. And so the consciousness from shamanism is represented by the World Tree. And so our piece of soul, when it leaves, goes either to the lower world, the middle world, or the upper world. And it will go there because it wants to feel, as I said, feel safe. Then what? So that then leaves a hole or a void in the soul. And into that void or that hole goes all the negativity that's associated with that trauma, and it gets sealed off. And I work with people on my events. I work with people one-to-one. I work with corporate, you know, and various different people say to me, you know, Clayton, I just feel like something is missing. And that's because there is. And so what happens is that, so then we have this sealed void in the hole in our soul. And so then what happens is at the point of incarnation, the higher self, which is our true self, which is omnipresent and it's everywhere, splits into 2. And it's, you know, the largest part of it, which represents, just keeping the numbers clean, 99% of us remains the higher self. The 1%, this tiny little splinter that flicks off the end, then forms the ego self. And the one thing, you know, and I'm happy to be really controversial. I love having heated debates and around all this with people. And so the higher self and the ego self are one and the same thing. And so when we make our ego self bad, we're making ourselves bad, and we're making the higher self bad. And actually, you know, there's no part of us that is bad or wrong. It's just about learning and understanding. So what happens is the ego self gets programmed with all the negativity associated with these traumas that we've had. And then it acts like a beacon and it sends out a signal into the universe or the quantum field or the divine spiritual system, whatever label you want to call it, and attracts situations and circumstances and people to you so that you can learn and so that you can remember who you are. And the whole purpose of the learning and the remembering is so you can heal the trauma from the soul. And so what happens is it clears out the negativity when you pay attention to it, and then allows the piece of soul to return.
Let me just interrupt for 1 second. I understand everything you're saying, but sometimes it sends out the soul, or the ego goes out, and it keeps repeating the same lessons over and over because it doesn't get it, right? Would you say that?
No, I know exactly why does the same thing keep happening. Okay, let me answer that. The reason that the same thing keeps happening is because we're not paying attention. So let me explain. So there was a survey done, in 2005 by the National Science Foundation, which talked about how many thoughts that we experience per day. And I'm just going to stay with this survey. This survey basically said that we experience about 60,000 thoughts per day. Now, I believe that we actually experience more than that, but I'm just going to stay with that. So what happens is this. Is of those 60,000 thoughts, the same survey mentioned that the majority of them are repetitive, and about 80 to 90% of them are negative. So then people say to me, linking into what you were just saying, well, you know, Clayton, you know, I need to be very careful about my thoughts. Okay, so if I need to be careful about my thoughts, well, why, when I know better, don't I do better? And that is because neuroscience has now proven that we spend 95% of our time unconscious. And so if in a 24-hour day I gave you 8 hours and 8 hours a night sleep, then, you know, 5% of that represents one, that would leave 16 hours. And then of those 16 hours, we are actually only awake for 1 hour. Consciously wait. The other 15 hours, we're in automatic pilot going through our life, doing the things we want to do. So what happens? So then people say to me, well, okay, well, think positively. But positive thinking doesn't work either. Because if I am spending 95% of my time unconscious and I'm trying then to think positively, what I'm thinking positively about is what's missing in my life. So if I'm thinking positive, trying to think positive about what's missing in my life, the underlying energy that's on the thought that I'm sending out into the quantum field or the universe is lack. And so lack attracts lack. And so then it continues to spiral. So then, taking this one step further, quantum physics has proven that we experience wholeness unconsciously 7.8 times per second. So what that means is that we're actually always in creation. So if we're always in creation, but we're spending 95% of our time unconscious, we're actually creating through negativity, which is when we look out in our lives, what's in our lives is a repetition of all the negativity. Now, let me link this back into what you were saying. So negativity. And where negativity comes from, negativity is like a whisper or an echo from the past. So when we're experiencing negativity, it's every single time we experience negativity, we are reliving the past in the here and the now. So if we're reliving the past in the here and the now, we can't be present. And if we're not present, then we enter into this spiral effect of, you know, I always attract the same type of man, or I always attract the same type of woman, or why do I always have problems around money, or why do I always have problems around weight? Why do I get super fit and then all of a sudden elastic back? And this is the reason why. So because when we go unconscious and we experience negativity, which is the communication of the ego, we've literally gone back to the past. So what we have to do is be present. So the way that
I think I'm just trying to absorb it. I mean, I think it's great, everything you're saying, and it models everything I've been thinking, and you're giving great explanations. So just repeat that last.
Every single time, and it's 100% of the time, without exception, that we experience negativity, we are literally reliving the past in the here and the now.
Well, let me just interrupt for 1 second. When you say experiencing negativity, do you mean repeating the patterns that keep us stuck?
Nope. Let me. That's a great question, Alan. So every time we have a negative thought, feeling, emotion, action, reaction, any negative stories we tell ourselves, these are all relate to patterns from our past lives, things that we need to learn and pay attention to. So every time, whenever we experience anything like that, then we can go, you know, the way it shows up in life is we can end up being the unconscious victim. And so what happens is we experience this negativity and then we start reliving the past. And we then start, we can get very much caught up in the past. So if you are in the past, you cannot be in the present. And if you are in the, if you're in the past, you can't, the only place that you can create from is the past, which means that we are repeating our patterns over and over and over and over and over again. So the way in which to dissolve that and to deal with that, and I'm going to explain that in a minute, there's a three-step process. But first of all, I need to tell people what's going on in their body. So when we experience negativity, it is a communication from you to you that something is not quite right or how you think it should be.
If we recognize it as negativity, most people are not conscious enough to even see that these are negative thoughts.
That is part of the challenge, and I'm going to tell you how to start to deal with that. So so what happens in the body is that we start to fill our body with negative chemicals, you know, that don't serve us, like cortisol and all these different types of things. What then happens in the brain is the brain goes into high beta brainwaves. And when you go into high beta brainwaves, that's also known as stress. And when you go into high stress, you can't think clearly, let alone behave clearly or act clearly. And then life becomes very reactionary. So what happens is this is the way to start doing anything. Step one, if people just take this away from this call, it will really start to help them, is to start to raise their awareness of what is going on in their life and become the observer in their life and become the master of awareness of their thoughts and their feelings and their emotions and what's going on. Because I agree with you. Because it becomes a norm. You know, it becomes, you know, if I'm experiencing anger, sadness, fear, hurt, or guilt on a regular basis, those are the neural pathways in my brain that I'm constantly firing. And so that then becomes my norm. But actually, it's not healthy. It's not serving me. So we then need to start to raise our awareness to exactly what is going on within ourselves. And if we can't see it within ourselves, then we need to look at the feedback that's going on around us, because we will be getting feedback over and over again.
What kind of feedback do you mean?
Okay, so what will be happening is, for example, around money, okay? I know people in the past who have gone out and spent money, which was set aside for their mortgage or their bills before their mortgage and their bills come in. But looking at how the relationships that we have around money, oh, I don't have enough money, or this person treats me really badly, or I'm stuffing my face with chocolate or bad food. So these types of behaviors and feedback that we're getting from our environment. Another example would be, so for example, within my own life.
Just one second, sorry, let me just absorb that. So in a sense, you're saying if we're not getting what we want or desire, that's a feedback from the universe that something is off.
Correct. We're out of sync. We've gone out of balance. Also, if we're not paying attention to our own body, then there'll be things that will show up in the environment. So let me give you an example. So you may start having people arguing with you. You may find that if you're running your own business, that contracts slow down. Or you may find that clients don't pay you on time.
Reflecting a part of our ego mind that is stuck, you're saying, is that what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the ego, remember, communicates through negativity. Negativity is a language of the ego. Positivity is a language of the higher self. And they both work together. It's not one or the other. It's a partnership. And so if you think about the meaning of what it means to be a human being, so you have the being element of who we are is represented by the divine higher self. It is omnipresent. It is everywhere. And it can literally create anything. And it is the concept of true control. And it represents 99% of us keeping the numbers tidy. Then you have the other side of us, which is the human self. And the human self is represented by the ego self, which communicates through the mind, which is we have this perception of control. It communicates through negativity. And we think that we can do all sorts of things with that. Now, here's what happens. The head tries to control the heart. So the ego mind tries to control the higher self, or the head gets in the way of the heart. And so what happens is then we have the inner thoughts that are going, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I don't have the experience, I don't have the capability, which is the head trying to rule the heart. Or then you can have the other way around, which is the heart trying to rule the head. And, you know, and the heart saying, well, you know, if I'm sure I can have a go at it, you know, and all this kind of thing. But it's not one or the other. It's both. They are a partnership and they have to work together. And let me explain why. The ego self holds the lessons that we need to learn this lifetime. And it will put you in situations and circumstances so that you can learn. The higher self holds the answers to those lessons. So when people try to think their way to a solution and really struggle to think, when they actually close their mind and go into their heart, what's actually happening when they go inward is you have the head and the heart working in tandem, which is called the intuition and the intuitive self. And so then you have the answers that are presented to you. So what happens is this, is that this is how, let me explain how our thoughts impact upon our reality. So our collection of thoughts, feelings, emotions, actions, reactions, stories that we tell ourselves have a frequency attached to them. Quantum physics has proven that we are almost 100% energy. And so we have a frequency that we send out. And that frequency we send out attracts back to us the things that we are creating in our life. So if my reality is based on a collection of thoughts, so my collection of thoughts, feelings, actions, and moments then actually shape my experiences that I experience in my life, good and bad. Those experiences that I have then shape my personality and the character that I am, again, good and bad. And then my personality then shapes my reality, which is also known as my life. And then the cycle continues. But when I start to learn from my negativity, and I'll explain why, because spiritually, negativity is not negative. It's not. It's energy.
It's a destiny, in a sense, that for the soul's evolution, you're saying.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to look at it, Alan. So when every soul is on a soul's journey. And negativity is not negative, it's just energy. And all energy can be changed and transmuted into something that will serve us and enable us to rise up, or it will keep us stuck in the past.
How does that happen? How does energy get changed and transmuted?
I'm going to tell you how to do that in a minute. So what happens is this. So the energy that we, so everything, all energy can be changed. It can be transmuted into something that serves you. So here's how you do it. So the first thing is remember, when you experience negativity, we're reliving the past in the here and the now. And if you think of...
Re-experience would say, oh, I'm not making enough money. I don't have the relationship I want. All these things you're saying would be...
Everything.
Okay, so that's the past. That's the self-pity, woe is me.
Correct. That's all that woe is me is literally relates to our past. It's not who we are in the here and the now. It's not part of, you know, if we looked at if we're able to access and really sit down with our higher self and have an amazing conversation with our higher self, our higher self doesn't experience any pity.
Right.
Okay. You know, because we're divine, unlimited beings. So if I said, so what I want people to think about is this. If you imagine the energy it takes to put a rocket into space, That's an enormous amount of energy, okay? And we have that same amount of energy that's trapped in our lower three energy centers, which is all where the ego self communicates from. And so we want to access that energy and use it as a force for good in our life. And so here's how you do it, okay? So the first thing is you need to remember that, and every time we experience negativity, we are literally being triggered back to the past. It's like going in a time machine, back to the past, and we're reliving that past in the here and the now. So we're not present. So we need to become present. So the way in which you become present is you become aware of your negativity. So awareness creates presence. So people need to go, we need to be, you know, be the observer in our own life. When people work with me on a one-to-one basis or on my groups and that kind of thing, this is one thing that they will go away and they'll do for a couple of weeks. They will, and they'll send me messages every day. It's like, okay, these are the things I've noticed. I've become the observer in my own life. I've noticed where my boundaries are too tight, where my boundaries are too loose, or they're non-existent. Or I've noticed where I was really short with somebody, or I was noticed where I got triggered and want to go and poke a colleague in the nose, because we're starting to become aware of our feelings and our emotions, good and bad. So the awareness creates presence, which brings us into the moment. So it brings us from the past into the here and the now. Now, what happens is we're not anchored into the here and the now. The way we anchor ourselves into the here and the now is to acknowledge our negativity. We need to acknowledge.
What would that look like, acknowledging the negativity?
Okay, that's a great question. I can give an example. So, and I'm not going to generalize too much here, but I'm speaking from my own experience and experience of some of my male friends. So it's only been for me, I would probably say, over the last 6 to 8 years where I have truly expressed my thoughts, my feelings, and my emotions. And because I learned as a child growing up in my household that, you know, actually it's not safe for me to express my true feelings, my thoughts, my feelings, and so on. But I have a beautiful relationship with my beautiful wife, Lindsay, where I am completely safe to share exactly what is going on in my heart, exactly what's going on in my mind. And if I am angry, sad, you know, experiencing fear, then we're able to have those conversations about what's going on. So first of all, it's about expression. And it's also very interesting about noticing how we respond to this, because I remember at the beginning of my relationship with Lindsay, she's very open and expresses the thoughts and the feelings and what goes on in her world and in her life. But in the beginning of our relationship, which is almost 12 years ago, every time she would share with me and express what's going on for her, I would take it personally. You know, and men typically do that. But, you know, and it's not about that. It's very much, you know, she was sharing her thoughts and feelings and emotions. And, you know, and one day she said to me, this is not about you. This is not at you. I'm just expressing about the situation.
It's between the way men and women communicate. I've learned that.
Yeah, exactly. And so the thing is this, and it's the same here. So when we experience anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, it's not about making it bad. We have a society which makes these things bad, and we've been conditioned to ignore it, to sweep it under the carpet, to stuff it down.
I'm upset about some behavior. What do I do with that?
Okay. So the worst thing that you can do is beat yourself up.
Really?
Because, yep. So I will often say to people, would you go and beat up a four-year-old? And they go, no. They go, no. And they're often shocked by that question, and that, which is a good thing. And I would say, okay, so why are you beating up the inner child that's within you?
I should have known better, I think.
Okay. Now, that's different. So what you can do is, and this is what you should do, is you pull yourself into your common sense corner and you sit down and you have a sensible chat with yourself. And you have a conversation with yourself as an equal, as a grown-up, and you say, hey, Alan, you know what? What you just did in that situation did not serve you and did not serve the client. So we need to agree with ourselves that we're not going to do that again and we're going to do something different again.
How do we make that up, that behavior up to the other person who may have been affected by our behavior?
You own it. you own it, and you go to that other person and you say, you know what, I'm really sorry, I was having a bit of a funky moment, you know, I didn't serve me or you at the highest level in that situation, and I am genuinely very sorry, it won't happen again. And I can give you a real life example of that. A very good friend of mine called me the other day. He was about to close a deal on a business that he was about to buy, and there was a few tiny little tweaks and changes that were being made to the contract, and the person who was buying this business from, their lawyer called and said, you know, this person is wanting to make a few tweaks and changes. That the person who he was buying the business from had an extreme emotional reaction to that, and got completely triggered in that situation, and it was completely out of control, and all the deal almost did not go through. But actually, what happened 24 hours later, this particular person came to him and said, I'm really sorry about my behavior, I'm completely misunderstood the situation, completely misunderstood what it was you're on about, I now have all the facts of the situation, you know, please forgive me. And they came to an agreement between the two of them that that behavior would not show up again between the two of them, and they signed the deal, and the deal went through. But I need to finish off giving you the process, Alan.
Yes, do that, because so many good points. I'm just eating it up, because no, really, everyone needs to hear this conversation. So please continue.
Thank you, Alan. So the first piece, the first step is awareness. And what I would say to people is, over the next couple of weeks, just live your life as you normally live your life, but live it through the lens of observing your life and just noticing what's going on. Because the more awareness you have, the more present you will become. And when the more present you become, the more you'll then start to be able to create the things you want to create in your life consciously. That's step one. Step two is then you need to acknowledge your negativity. So here's what I do. I do something, you know, I'm a psychologist and I've been studying psychology for about 8 years, and I do something called two-chair work. So what I will do now is I will take my fear, if I'm feeling a little bit anxious or fear's coming up, I'll take my fear and I'll put it in a chair opposite. And I say, right, fear, we need to have a conversation, because, you know, you are causing me a problem. You know, and I want to understand what's going on. And I literally have a conversation. I would get out of my chair and I would go and sit in the chair, and I'll become the fear. And I will feel the fear just for a few moments, and I'll express what's going on, and then I'll switch chairs again. Because we need to express what's going on. We need to feel the anger and express it. We need to feel the fear and express it. We need to feel the anxiety and express it. We need to feel the confusion and express it. And as we start to own it, that what that does is it anchors us in the here and the now. Now, here's the great thing. When that starts to happen, what happens in our brain is our brain waves change. Our brain waves go from high beta brain wave down to medium, down to low beta, and into alpha. And when you get into alpha with a little bit of beta, that's called peak performance. And then you can actually think and see clearly the actions that you want to be able to take. And that's where step three comes in. And step three is about acting for your highest good. And this is, you know, this is something I'm very, very passionate about, because when we act for our highest good, this is when the magic really happens. And when we make decisions for who we are, then again, you know, science is proving that it builds confidence in us to be able to make other decisions for ourselves and so on and so forth. So if someone doesn't like what you say or what you do,
you're saying it unconsciously. And then that's, you know, if they don't like it, then they're giving you feedback somehow. I don't like that. And either it's a chance for you to become conscious or for them to become conscious, or both.
Well, what you're doing in that situation is, if there's a decision that I want to make in my own life, or if there's a decision you want to make in your own life, or anybody around me, provided I'm making a decision for my highest good, then I'm automatically making a decision for somebody else's highest good.
Well, we don't know. We think it's for often, you know... often we think it's for our highest good, and sometimes it's not. You know, that goes back to that place again.
Yeah, but if you are, I agree with you, but if you are making a decision through your negativity, you're not present. So the process that I'm saying is that the awareness creates presence. Then when you acknowledge it, it brings you into the here and the now. So you are present and you are consciously present on the action that you want to take. And you can only take action that is which you think and feel in that moment is right for you. And it does feel, you know, in my experience, it does feel right. It does feel good. And I will act on that. I know from other people in my life when they've acted for their highest good, then I know that sometimes that's had an impact on somebody else. And the other person said, you know what, actually, that was the right decision you made at that point. Because what we tend to do in life is we do things out of obligation, or we do things to please other people. We say yes to something when we really want to say no. And it's when we do that that we actually lower our energy and we then go back to the past. So the process that I'm sharing with you is about saying that it will keep you anchored very much in the moment. And, you know, so when I experience negativity, I very rarely will sit in it. You know, for very long these days, I will go through this process. Sometimes I will sit with it because from a teaching and a learning perspective, because I want to understand the threads that come from it. But I'm doing that consciously, and then I'll move myself out of it. But the way in which to accelerate all of this is through meditation. And so, you know, I meditate once a day in the morning. When I begin my day, and I will create my day. And I learned about creating my day from a great friend of mine called Dr. Joe Dispenza.
A friend of mine, too. I met him years ago at the Rampa School.
Yeah, completely. He's an amazing guy. And I feel blessed to be able to call him a good friend. And the thing is this, is that I will get up in the morning. I will meditate first thing in the morning because I want to hone on my energy. And then I want to use it for a force for good in my life during the day. If during the day I have a funky moment, what I don't do is I don't go and do another meditation. I want to be able to master my life becoming effectively an awakened meditation as I go through my life. So I want to be able to change my energy. As I change my energy, I'll change my life. And this is the process that I'm teaching people, is about how to become more aware, become more awake, to live more consciously, to start to create the things you want to create in the moment rather than having to wait 6, 9, 12 months down the line.
Right. Yes.
But we've got to do it from a conscious place and an awakened place.
So you're saying, now to recap a little bit, because you've covered so much and it's so good, I need to listen to this a couple of times. So if we want something in our life and we're not getting it, that's the universe saying we're not conscious about something. We're in a negative space. If we're in our higher self, we generally will get everything we desire, because the universe is abundant and here to give us, you know, what we desire as our mission, I think.
Yeah, and absolutely right. And here's the thing. Is that there is no in the universe. The universe will respond in accordance with the energy that you send out. So the cool thing about this is as follows. As we become more aware and we become more present, what actually happens is our energy changes. So we actually start to heal the traumas of the past. And as we heal the traumas of the past, then what happens is the pieces of soul that we lost return. And so as those pieces of soul return, it changes our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, because we're changing our energy. We're releasing this energy. We've taken this negative energy and it transmutes automatically as we learn into something positive. We haven't got to get the learning twice, just got to get it once. And here's what happens. The energy starts to change. Our thoughts start to change. We started to experience new things in our life. And as we experience new things in our life, it changes our personality. And as it changes our personality, it changes our frequency. And so we unwire and rewire the neurology within the brain. We switch off genes that don't serve us and switch on genes in the body that do serve us. We send out a completely new frequency into the quantum field or into the universe. And then we attract new things into our life. And
wait 1 second, just back up a little bit. So we send a new frequency into the quantum field by looking at the negativity that has stopped us, being present with it, owning it, And by therefore owning it, we are at peace with it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's in essence what I'm saying. So because if you continue to ignore your negativity, here's what happens. You enter into what I call the ego's playground. And the ego goes, okay, they want accelerated learning. You know, they're not paying attention to me right now. So guess what? I'm going to escalate. And in my book, I call it the spiral effect. So you'll get different signals and different, you know, opportunities to learn as you go through your life. The closer you get to the center of the spiral, the more painful it will become. And, you know, and I've seen that happen many, many times to different people in their life if they're not starting to take responsibility for the certain things and that they need to be owning and taking responsibility for, whether that be around money, whether that be around health, whether that be around relationships. And if you continue to ignore negativity, then it will then start to impact upon the body because we're not paying attention to it. And that's when we get dis-ease in the body because the energy becomes contaminated and blocked within the body and it's not being released. So you need to change the energy in the body.
But what if we just don't know? We're doing all the right things. We're looking at ourselves. We just don't know why we're not achieving something on some level, some project or something, and we're looking at it all. Does it mean that something is still buried? I guess it does.
Yeah, it does. And often I will say to people, look at your behavior. Because our own individual behavior will be a direct response of our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our stories that we will tell ourselves. If a project's not working or something outside of us is not working, that's feedback. So, and I'll explain, you know, I'll give you a really nice example of feedback. So Lindsay and I have a really great friend called Diane Hunter. And Diane Hunter is a lady in the US and she is an equestrian and she works with horses. So we were in Switzerland at a friend's event and Diane had said, hey, look, do you want to come and play with some horses? And Lindsay and I had never done this before and we said, yeah, we would love to come and do that. So Diane never met these horses before. She found a local farm where we could go and play with horses. And there was this beautiful ring and this horse came out and within moments, this horse was dancing for her. It was just bliss to see. So then she invited me into the ring and I thought, okay, this is going to be really cool. This is going to be fun. The horse is going to dance for me. And I could hear my own thoughts going on. It was really fascinating. And the horse ran away. And every time I approached the horse backed up. And every time I approached it, it just backed up. And Diane said to me, well, wait. And she said, what are you afraid of? And I said, I don't feel I'm afraid of anything. She said, no. She said, I just want you to pause. I want you, because this is feedback. She said, I want you just to observe, go inward just for 3-4 minutes, go inward and see what comes up for you. And I went inward, I just closed my eyes, I quieted my mind, I focused on my breathing, and I just asked myself the question, which I often ask, is what is my truth in this situation? And the truth that came up was there was a fear there. And the fear was associated with a horse trauma, and I'll explain what it was. 18 months previously, our daughter had fallen off of a horse and gone under a horse, got trampled by a horse and broke her leg. And I realized in that moment that that was what was coming up for me. And so then by me having the awareness, it brought me into the moment, great presence. I was then able to express it. I had a little cry around it. I expressed it. I moved the energy which locked me in. And then I said, and then I was like, okay, I'm now ready. So I was able then to act for my highest good. And then the horse came to me. And I had the most amazing experience.
Just taking what you're saying and I'm looking at myself and saying, why am I not getting everything that I've really worked hard for on the levels that I know I'm capable? And then I tapped in and said, why is that? And I think it's about deserving. I feel on some level, part of me doesn't deserve or is worthy. It's that. And it's also probably a pattern that runs through my family. My mother and father and grand also had a little, I mean, they've achieved certain level of success, of course, but there was another level. And I think it's mine, but it's also inherited as well. So what, I mean, that, so that's a good insight, I feel, but what do I need to do with that?
Okay, so you need to go and spend some time with that.
The unworthy.
You know, and around and explore what that actually means and the deserving and everything that flows in accordance with that. Because when you heal that energy within yourself, you don't only heal that within yourself, you heal that for future generations and past generations.
But how do I do that? Okay, I'm learning, I'm feeling it. I don't know what to do with it. Just a feeling that's there.
Okay, so here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do, Alan, right? So I'm going to send you a free copy of my meditation called the Ego's Code Meditation. Okay? And it's a process. And in your intention when you do the Ego's Code Meditation is around exactly what you've just talked around deserving, understanding the truth behind deserving, understanding the truth behind worthiness. And that meditation will take you on a journey which will help you to experience a soul retrieval associated with that. And then also at the same time, I would invite you to do some automatic writing because the mind can get in the way around it as we start to try and understand it. And so really, you know, sitting down and saying, okay, but just writing at the top of it, you're going into a bit of a trance and focus on the word deserving and say, okay, what is my truth in this situation? What do I need to understand about, you know, deserving and worth? And as you start to write that, the lymphatic system in the body will then start to release the energy that is there. And whatever comes up for you in terms, whether it be tears, whether it be anger, whether it be frustration, that's the energy starting to move and starting to shift. Also, you may feel, and this is, you know, this is up to everybody who's listening, that you may want to go get some private help as well. So, for example, I have an amazing, amazing therapist who I actually call Gandalf. His name is Peter, and I see him every week, and we'll sit, and he'll do with me what I do with other people. He'll help me to see my blind spots, and he'll help me to go deeper within myself. I recommend everybody has a therapist or someone at least they can go and talk to just to gain clarity around some of the things that come up. So I will work with all my stuff. I'll work with the divine. I'll work with people here on the earth plane, you know, just to be able to clear and release this energy. Because if things are coming up for me, I don't want to be living there. I want to be accessing it and using it as a force for good in my life.
Right. No, thank you. And for people who are listening and they want that meditation to clear stuff, how would they get that?
They can get it on iTunes. It's on, so they can download it from iTunes. They can download it from CD Baby.
What would they look for specifically?
It's called The Ego's Code Meditation. It's The Ego's Code Meditation. It's on Amazon.com. It's on iTunes. It's on CDBaby.com.
Okay, great. And so I think, I mean, there might be more stuff. I mean, is there always stuff or do you ever get really free of the ego's way? I mean, can you ever free yourself from it, or is life about constantly dealing?
Okay, so my truth in that situation is my truth is that we can be free of it. My true feeling around this whole thing is we don't have to die to experience wholeness consciously.
Thank you.
We can experience it here on the earth plane. We don't have to suffer.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just want to give you like a little feedback here, just to share something.
Go.
What you've presented here with me in this little session is something that I didn't get in just reading your advertisement. I think the depth of your knowledge and the connection on a spiritual level is more than just, get rid of your negativity, which is just sort of what I said. And now having experienced you, I feel that there is so much more value, and I would, you know, just suggest there might be a way where you can expand how you're saying what you're saying so people understand the depth of your work.
I really appreciate sharing that, Alan. I would agree, and I would love to find a way or get some support from somebody, you know, who can help me to get the wording right around various different things, because I've had a similar conversation with somebody else. You know, they said, look, you know, the depth in which you can go to with this, and we can go even deeper with it, doesn't come out through the verbiage of advertising and marketing, and so I don't know how to, I'm not experienced in doing that, which is why I look for help with it.
Right. Well, I just say something. It's sort of like soul clearing, really, what you're doing.
Oh, I like that.
Well, yeah, use it if you want, if it works. But I mean, that's what I feel. And that, you know, I think what you're saying, as the ego is a part of our soul's experience, giving us lessons to enjoy greater depth of the world is a key to the incarnational experience. And so you're giving us keys to our incarnation.
I love that as well. I'm glad I'm talking to you, Alan. That's amazing.
Well, thank you.
And I've got tingles as soon all over me with you saying that.
Yeah, and by packaging this work you're doing that way, people who are just, you know, because just to say, negativity workshops or getting rid of your negativity, they're everywhere, but most of them don't have what you're offering. And I've just gotten a lot from this conversation. So, yeah. And as I listen to it again, I'm sure I'll get more and read your book. There's more. But anyway, that's just something.
Thank you, Alan. I genuinely really appreciate you sharing that. And I will, when I get the recording, I'll listen back to it as well. And, you know, and I'll get some help around the advertising, the marketing and the verbiage. And, you know, with your permission, I'd love to shoot it across your bow as well and get your feedback with all of your experience and wisdom. That'd be amazing.
Of course. You know what? I mean, I don't mean to turn the tables, but I'm just getting that you maybe don't know the depth of the value that you do offer people. So I think maybe you do know it because...
I am aware of it. I probably don't appreciate it as much, you know, because of my own learning and my own journey around receiving unconditional love and unconditional wisdom. But I am very grateful that you say that, because I work with a lot of people and they get so many breakthroughs. Like, I run a 48-hour negativity detox and rejuvenation, effectively a soul rejuvenation. Yeah, so the workshop which I'm doing in New York is a one-day workshop, and I'm really excited to take people on a journey. I'm actually running a 48-hour negativity detox and, in essence, a soul rejuvenation in Toronto on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of December. And we will begin on the Friday night at 7 o'clock, and it's all about what I'll be doing. Everything I do on purpose will be creating some agitation for people. So we start to move the energies within the body. People will put the...
What do you mean you're creating agitation? What does that mean?
So people will get tired on the Friday night on purpose. So the journey begins on the Friday night, and people will come. They'll put their stories in the room. They'll share... You know, if they want to, you know, they share put their voice in the room. They'll talk about how they could sabotage themselves over the weekend. I'll talk more about my journey and the journey that I've come on in more depth than we've done tonight. We'll create some it's contact before contract. So we'll be contacting and taking care of each other. Then we'll be contracting about the journey that we're going to have over the course of the weekend. And then we're going to go into a meditation. And the meditation is called a color healing meditation. And the purpose of that color healing meditation is to align all the energies in the room, but also start to align the energies within the body. And what happens then is we'll finish 1, 2, sometimes a little bit later in the morning. And then we'll start again the following morning. And when people come in on the following morning, they just come in and they go to sleep. And during those 2 hours when they're asleep, I'm doing a very deep shamanic healing. With rattles and drums and chanting, and again we're moving the energy, we're giving healing to the physical body. How I know that we're giving healing to the physical body is that we, and the energy body, is we do testing. So we do live blood testing, we do GDV energy testing over the course of the weekend, and we see massive transformations and changes in blood and in energy over the weekend. Then we do a little bit of 3D, third dimensional, traditional type of learning about the ego, about negativity, about how, we can, you know, very similar to some of the things we've talked about tonight, but we go deeper. And then we'll break for lunch. And then after lunch, we'll come back and we do another meditation where we go to the quantum Akashic records. So I take people to the Akashic records where they get to experience their past, their present, and their future. They learn from negativity and they then can start the healing process goes deeper. Then when we come back in the afternoon, we do we look at the stories in which we tell ourselves that get in our way. What are those blockages that we have on a deep unconscious level? And we start to bring those up and we start to talk about those. And then we finish off the Saturday with the Ego's Code meditation where we do it live. And it's a very by this point in the day, the energy has changed. We're measuring the energy in the room. It's a really cathartic and healing process. And then we come out of the Ego's Code meditation where people receive soul retrievals. You can just see the changes in their physical body. People are losing weight because the negativity gets caught up in the fats in the body. And as that releases the body, they start to weigh less. Then what happened then on the Saturday night after Ego's Code meditation, we talk about what we're going to do the following day, which I'm not going to put on the radio just in case people want to come. And then
this is at the Open Center. You're doing all this?
No, this is what I'm doing in Toronto, in the Open Center. So then, in the Open Center, we begin at 10 o'clock, and we'll begin by again very similarly talking about, you know, I'll share a little bit of my own journey. People will share their journey and their challenges that they're going through in life, so I can understand stories. The room will be blessed. I'll know who their guides are in the room. I know whose egos are in the room. All sorts of different things will be going on. Then we'll be talking about how they could sabotage. They're very, very similar. We'll be talking about how they could sabotage their success. And then we're going to go into a meditation. And the meditation is the color healing meditation, which I mentioned earlier, which is about aligning all the energies in the room. Because people have come on different journeys to get to the event. And then as we start to align the energies in the room, we're then going to start to really learn about the negativity. We're going to really learn about the ego and the impact that that has on life, and start to really look at our own stories and how we get in our own way and how to stop it. So we really start to learn about when we're in flow and when we're out of flow, and how many hours in the week we're in flow and how many hours in the week we're out of flow. And we talk about the concept of, you know, it is a concept of time because time actually doesn't exist. And then we're going to go into a meditation called the Power Animal Meditation. And the Power Animal Meditation is about meeting their animal guides that are working with them. And so they'll get to go to their world tree. They'll get to meet three of their animal guides. Sometimes more will come in for people. And they get learning from these particular guides that are there. And everybody will be journaling and making notes and healing from the inside out and the outside in. And then we'll do some bit more traditional learning in the afternoon, where we will spend more time looking at our stories and how to release the negativity associated with our stories. And then we'll go into the Ego's Code meditation, where people will have they'll release the negativity, they'll receive a soul retrieval, and then I have a very nice closing ceremony, which we'll finish with on the evening, and then we'll finish. I think it's about 5:30, 6 o'clock. So that's what we're going to do. Briefly, when I'm in New York, but obviously we just scratched the surface. The difference between that and then when we go into Toronto, so day three in Toronto, we start very early on the Sunday with an early morning meditation, and then from that we then go outside, and as we go outside we start to embed and we work with nature and work with nature spirits to be able to bring out, to heal using nature. Then when we come back in from nature, we're going to do a very new meditation. We're going to look at creativity and creation. And I have a new meditation called the Magic Shop of Creation. And so we're going to spend some time understanding how to work with the energies of the divine to be able to actually to create the things we want to create. And then we'll finish off with a very powerful closing ceremony. So there's some crossover between the two events. Obviously, in 48 hours, we can go deeper, we can go further, we can do more than we can within six. So
when are you doing the Toronto event?
So the Toronto event is the 1st, 2nd, 3rd of December.
Okay. Anyway, actually, I loved everything you're saying. I think you should write a book called Soul Rejuvenation.
I'm going to make a note of that one. I love that.
Follow that with The Magic Shop of Creation. I love all these things.
Yeah, The Magic Shop of Creation is in development already. Yeah, that one's coming.
Just to review a little bit what you said here and what people can take away, because, you know, it's not just something you can hear in, you know, an interview and expect to, or you can maybe expect to clear all your negativity. But maybe if someone was going to attempt to clear whatever they could by what you said, it would be to look at what's not working, really look at all the aspects of your life, check in, see how you feel about yourself, see what the universe is saying, and see what the feedback is, and give yourself what you're lacking, acknowledge what you've done, and be in the present. Or how would you sum it up?
Okay, I think that's a pretty good sum up. Yeah, I would agree. So look at areas of your life. So your life, people, everyone who's listening, your life is a reflection of what's going on inside. And that's been said many, many times before by different teachers, not only myself. So what you then need to do is say, okay, notice where you're out of flow. So notice where things are hard. Notice where you sometimes you feel like you're pushing water uphill, or, you know, you just keep doing something over and over again, you know, in different ways, and things are not happening for you. Because there will be an underlying energy that's there, which is associated with the negativity that is creating that for you. So whether it be lack, whether it be frustration, whether it be anger, so whatever is not happening, start to pay attention to it. Look specifically at your behavior associated with that. Look at your attitudes around that. Look at your, you know, your thought processes around that. This is not about skills. This is not about knowledge. You know, you don't have to learn a new skill. You just need to become aware. And as you start to become aware of what's going on in your life, choose and make a decision and a contract and a commitment to yourself that you're going to do something different.
You're going to do something different as far as
your behavior.
So if like you're not getting the jobs you want or something like that, you're going to do something, but people don't know what to do different because they're stuck with being themselves.
Yeah, but if they're only the habit of being themselves, if they've gone unconscious, but if they are raising awareness to looking at the things that are not working for themselves, then they become present. And as they become present, they can then start to acknowledge and own their negativity. And as they start to own their negativity, then they can then start to express gratitude in their life even more. Then as you start, then you become more and more consciously present. And then you, then your life will change because you start acting for you rather than acting for other people. And as you start to act for yourself, your energy changes. You become more joyful. You know, people say to me, well, you know, it's selfish to focus on myself. No, it's not. Because the more you would take care of yourself, the kinder you are to yourself. And interesting is you're kinder to other people. You're more patient to other people. You're more loving towards other people rather than the unconscious resentment or blame or anger. And every time we experience resentment, blame or anything like that, we're giving our power away. And so we have to take it back. And the way we take it back is by raising awareness to ourselves and our own needs and what we want in our life. And it's okay to ask for that and to accept that and to align to that. And if something is not working in your life, it's because your energy attached to that is not aligned to the thing you want to create. Otherwise, it would be in your life.
Right. So we also have to acknowledge that everything that is in our life that we're happy with is we've aligned with and in a sense that we have proof we can do it.
Thank you. And that's I'm really, really glad you raised that, Alan, because it's very, you know, when we're talking about ego and talking about negativity, we can get a bit consumed in that. You're absolutely right. There in everybody's life, I don't care who it is on the world or what the challenges that you experience, there will be at least one thing in your life that, you know, you can express gratitude for. And gratitude is like the secret source. And when we get to that place where we can express gratitude for that, then we can then start to acknowledge, well, you know, I created that in my life. That's something really great I created in my life. And if I created that in my life, I can create other things in my life that I want. And then, you know, and then you create two things in your life that you want. And wow, if I can create those two things, I've got to be able to do a third.
You're right. It's not our failures that move us through, it's our successes.
It is. And, you know, I was talking to a client yesterday about receiving. And I said, you know, when we can master receiving the gift of, say, a friend taking us out for a cup of coffee or a friend taking us out for lunch, because so many people just reach into their pockets and say, no, I'll get it, rather than experiencing the gift of receiving. When we experience that gift of receiving, that's when the magic also happens, because we get to express gratitude for that. And it takes the same energy to receive a free cup of coffee as a gift from a friend as it does to create a book deal or create a new job or create enough money to be able to pay a bill or create to put food on the table or create, you know, a TV show or whatever that dream is that you have. But we have to align to the energy of it. And if there's an underlying thought that says, well, I'm not good enough for that, then the universe will respond and say, okay, you're not yet good enough. I'm going to give you what more of that. As opposed to saying, you know what, actually, I am ready.
Right. So if we refuse the gift, saying no, then the universe will keep having us refuse gift. I mean, every time, because we are stuck in that way. But if we accept whatever it is, then as a gift, the good, the bad, the ugly, maybe, then we're in the openness of accepting and. Because I think the universe is looking out for our highest good, because we are that.
There is a great quote by a lady called Brenda Yuelin, and she says, everybody is talented, original, and has something important to say. Every single soul on our beautiful planet has a story, you know, and it's important that we share our stories. People love stories, so share your story, however that is. Whether that be with a loved one or whether that be, you know, on a blog or on a video log or, you know, on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, wherever that is.
Of course, there's that beautiful Marianne Williamson quote, is like, who are you not to be your light and to shine, right?
That's awesome.
These are just reminders, but I think what you're really doing and what I get is a sort of a map to the unconscious, because I think I'd love to really sit down and look at that map and see where all the pitfalls could be and work through each one. I mean, you sort of do that in your book, in the exercises, in the writing exercises, right?
Yeah, there are 16 exercises in my book, and you know, they're all about raising awareness. They're all about that map of understanding where your blockages are and where we do actually get in our own way. And I remember I was reading for somebody once, and I had a quote come through from the divine to pass on to this person. And I'll share it right now. And it was, you know, don't stand in front of your dreams, walk with them.
This is great. So the ego's code is the key. And I think people reading that book will get a lot from it. And, of course, coming to your workshops and you speaking around the world. Well, I mean, this is your mission.
It absolutely is, and I absolutely love it, and you know, I'm speaking around the world, so you know, I go over to Europe. I'm actually going to Australia in the new year as well, to run an event with a good friend over there, and so you know, there'll be more and more events that will come out next year. There's more and more speaking opportunities that I'm doing. I'm writing more books. I have the Ego's Code meditation, which is available right now. There's a power animal meditation, which is coming out in the next few days, which is free through my website. There'll be a new meditation, which will be free, called the Color Healing Meditation, which will come out in November, December. I'm going to release one called the Akashic Records, again, which will be free through my website. And then people can then buy the Magic Shop of Creation in the new year. And then later on in March next year, I have a shamanic healing meditation and CD that's also coming out. So there's lots and lots that I'm doing, that I'm sending out in the world. I'd be really grateful if people would follow me on Twitter, because I put lots of different messages out on Twitter, like messages from the power animals, you know, shamanic runes that I put out there, daily quotes, you know, little whispers from the ego and different things like that. So there's lots I put out on Twitter.
What is whispers from the ego? Is that a...
So it's like a message that I will send out on a regular basis, because, you know, the ego sometimes is quiet. You know, I call it like a Wednesday whisper. And then sometimes, as you said, we get so caught up in life and unconscious that, you know, we don't hear the messages that are coming from the ego to enable us to rise up. And then all of a sudden we get this massive 2x4 bit of feedback that comes between our eyes, and we wonder why we missed it. And so I put in these little Wednesday whisper messages, and I actually send them out most days rather than just on a Wednesday now.
Can you just give me what would be a Wednesday whisper message?
A Wednesday whisper message would be, I can absolutely give you one of those. Bear with me. I'm just tuning in to give you the right one.
Okay.
Be courageous. Be courageous. Another one is about being congruent and really start, you know, looking at your behavior. So one of the messages I'll send out is around being congruent and looking at, you know, if something is important to you, are your behaviors aligned to that? So making sure your what's important to you is aligned to your behaviors. If not, you're incongruent.
Great. No, this is all great, and I just want to tell people that Clayton will be in New York on Sunday, November 5th for, looks like an all-day workshop, right?
It is an all-day, yes.
Stop stressing your life. You see, that doesn't really say it. I'm just giving stop stressing your life. I mean, there's a million workshops about that, but what you're giving people is more. I mean, that includes that. I mean, that's what I feel, so...
I think I'm going to change to a soul rejuvenation workshop.
Yes. Now, that's something lots of people will want to go to.
Okay.
I mean, let's see how it works, right?
Absolutely. Let's do it, Alan. Let's do it. And I'm so grateful for you having me.
Oh, yeah. But I also want to say what makes your work so powerful is that it's not philosophy. This is stuff that you've had to learn. And deep lessons, you know, your story is a valuable part of this whole thing. And without that, you wouldn't have the wisdom, insight to give others. So thank you for being honest, open, vulnerable, and sharing who you are.
Thank you, Alan. It's been an absolute blessing to be here.
What's your website? Yeah. Just want to tell people.
My website is very simple. It's claytonjohnanger.com.
Okay, that's it. And your book, The Ego's Code, and workshops coming up in New York and Toronto. Thank you, Clayton. I really enjoyed it too. And I got things. You know, this is why I do this program, so I can learn. And it's all good. We all have baggage to work through, I guess. So we
do, and you know, and I would love to extend to you, Alan, you know, if you'd like to have a gift of a reading with me, I would love to give you that gift.
Oh yeah, let's do that. Okay, I'll accept that. You know,
let's do it. We'll get you scheduled in.
All right, great. Okay, looking forward to hopefully I'll maybe even stop by the Open Center, say hello on the 5th. Okay.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. So thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for having me. It's an absolute blessing to know you. And I really hope that, you know, that listeners who really resonate what we were talking about, you know, come and join me at the Open Center. You know, you will learn a lot, you'll heal a lot, and you also have a lot of fun as well. There's a great group of people who are going.
I've been talking to Clayton John Anger. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities here on BBS Radio. Thank you for listening. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. Look at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/newrealities. Also, these shows are podcasts on iTunes as well, and also archived on BBS Radio. Thank you for listening. Good night.